For this time of worship, please speak to us through your word this morning. In your name, amen.
Amen. From the inside out, remember that. So a couple of Sundays ago was Mother's Day, and I was leaving the building, and I saw somebody coming up to the food pantry, and I thought, oh, good, we're gonna be able to utilize it. And when I left, I saw a whole bunch more food in there than when I got here. This was somebody in the neighborhood walking her dog who brought a grocery bag full of food and put some in. So it's fantastic. Yeah, it's fantastic. All right. We are doing things a little bit different today. You'll find out why. Think back. Now, for some of you, that's going to be a lot longer than others of you. I won't point at any people, but think back to when you were a kid. Okay, way back when I'm going to stop there. Did you ever try and outwit your parents? You guys didn't even have to think about that one. Yes. Did you ever try and outwit them with, like, questions? Maybe? I mean, for example, let me help you out. For example, if you went to mom and said, hey, I know it's kind of late, but can I go over to so-and-so's house? And she's like, well, I'd really rather you not, but go ask your dad. Right? So you go to dad, and you leave out the part that mom would rather you not. Hey, dad, mom wanted me to ask you if I can go to so-and-so's house. What do you think? Well, sure. Okay. You're grounded? That's how you get grounded, for sure. Okay, now what about you have multiple siblings, right? And parents say they don't play favorites, but sometimes the littlest one is the favorite. So let's say the oldest goes to mom and says, hey, can we have dinner after ice cream? No, you didn't. You weren't behaving today, so you're not going to get dinner. And so then, you know, you're not getting dinner or ice cream, right? Thank you. Hey, if you're new here at First Church, when I say something wrong, people just call me out on it. It's awesome. It's great. Where was I? Dinner and ice cream. Mom just said no because you were misbehaving. So you got multiple kids in the family, so you send the littlest girl who's wrapped around daddy's finger, right, to go ask dad if she can have ice cream after dinner. What's dad say? Yeah, parental dilemma, right? You ever try to outwit your parents with questions or maybe just outlast them? I mean, you keep asking the same question over and over and over. What's the favorite road trip question of kids? I didn't even have to prime the pump for that one. You guys were halfway there. All right, if there's any kids left in here, kids, your parents are smarter than that. Most times. Sometimes. In our story today, we get to see people trying to outwit Jesus with questions. Let me pray. Father, I'm excited for the day on many different levels. I pray that you would help us see what you want us to see this morning and hear what you want us to hear. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 12 if you have them. If you don't, there is a maroon Bible under the chair in front of you. If you don't have a Bible at home, feel free to take that one home. Now you have one. If you use a phone app, something, go ahead and get that. Mark chapter 12. As you're turning, we continue in our offensive Christianity series. We've been in it for a little while. In this series, we are taking a nice, long, slow walk with Jesus, looking at who he welcomes in, because the question is, who's in, who's out, right? Looking at who he welcomes in, who he loves, who he engages, and not just always who, but sometimes what he welcomes in. Last week, if you were here, Trevor did a great job showing that Jesus welcomed the humble. And I still have one of his phrases kind of been marinating in my mind all week since I listened to it. He was talking about the sound of the coins going into the temple offering plates or the temple buckets. And he talked about the cascade of coins. And yet the woman's shavings of metal came up hollow. I just loved that. So if you didn't watch that, go back and watch it online. It is fantastic. Today we go back just a few verses into the beginning of chapter 12. Right after Jesus had been interacting with some of the people in the temple, right? Tossing tables, messing with money changers, living out a parable, telling a story that the religious leaders knew was about them. In fact, if you remember their response to that, Mark 12, verse 12, the religious leaders wanted to arrest Jesus because they realized he was telling the story against them. They were the wicked farmers, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. All right, then we jump into our text for today, verse 13. It says, later, the leaders, later, how much later? I mean, seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks? It wouldn't have been that long, not weeks or days, because this is all happening in the few days in between Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem and when he was crucified. So let's just go with hours later. The religious leaders had to go away and kind of lick their wounds of Jesus telling that story against them. But it says later, and I'm going to read 13 through 40. So go ahead and follow along. I want us to see that this was all one ongoing episode. Later, the leaders sent some Pharisees and supporters of Herod to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You are impartial, and you don't play favorites. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or shouldn't we? Now, Jesus saw through their hypocrisy, and he said, why are you trying to trap me? Show me a Roman coin, and I'll tell you. Now, when they handed it to him, he said, whose picture is this? Whose title is on this? And they replied, Caesar's. Well, then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And his reply completely amazed them. Verse 18, then, okay, so all one story. Then Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders who said there is no resurrection from the dead. They posed this question. Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose, they said, there were seven brothers. The oldest one married and then died without children. The second brother married the widow, but he also died without children. The third one married her. You would think they'd get the point at that time. Wow. This continued with all seven of them, and still there were no children. Last of all, the woman also died. So tell us, Jesus, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. In verse 24, Jesus replied, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. And in this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, haven't you ever read about this in the writings of Moses? In the story of the burning bush? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So he is the God of the living, not the dead. You have made a serious error. This is all going on with a lot of people probably watching because they're in and around the temple at this point. So a teacher of religious law, verse 28, says, was standing there listening to the debate, and he realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and he is the only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So we sang a song about that. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Now, the teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher. I mean, it's like Jesus needed an attaboy. Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there's only one God and no other. And I know it's important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Now, Jesus, realizing how much this man understood, said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. Verse 35. Later, how much later? Yeah, we don't know. Minutes, seconds, hours. Later, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple, he asked them, so it's his turn to ask questions now. Why do the teachers of religious law claim that the Messiah is the son of David? For David himself, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies beneath your feet. Now, since David himself called the Messiah my Lord, how can the Messiah be his son? And the large crowd listened to him with great delight. Verse 38, Jesus also taught, beware, all these people are in the room. Beware of the teachers of religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at the banquets, yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be more severely punished. Jesus and questions. The people trying to outwit Jesus with questions. And of course, Jesus showing how calm under pressure he is and his quick wit. Now, to tie into our sermon series, I could just very easily say Jesus welcomes questions, both receiving and asking. And someone could say, amen, let's go home. Right? Randy, let's go home. Amen. Jesus loves receiving and asking questions. And now that we've placed that in the middle of the sermon series, I want to go a slightly different direction, but come back to this idea of Jesus and questions at the end, all right? Today is a special day. We're going to do a baptism. Everybody go, woohoo! That's right. We're going to baptize Joshua. That's right. We are so excited. He has been following Jesus, and he's wanting to make this public proclamation, this public declaration of faith to say, I'm going to continue following Jesus. Joshua is 10 years old. He is finishing fifth grade. Wow. You're going to go to sixth grade in the fall. I love it. He's got a little sister named Jadella, a mom named Joy, a dad named Joel. So there's the J Club, all four of them. It is great. I'm excited for this because it's just thrilling to baptize somebody anywhere, but it's just as thrilling to baptize them in front of the people that they're going to do life and faith with. And that's what Joshua is wanting to do. He's wanting to say to you guys, I'm committed to following Jesus, and I want you to walk with me. So, slightly different, I'm just going to talk to Joshua for the rest of my sermon, and you guys can listen. Is that fair? We're going to see if any of you learn anything. And Joshua, if it seems like I'm talking directly to you, I am. All right? Sweet. Love it. Hey, in this text that was full of people asking questions, full of Jesus interacting with different people, I saw four specific things I want to encourage you to do as you keep growing in your faith, and two things that I want to tell you not to do. All right, there won't be a test on this. Four things to do, two things not to do. We're going to start with the to-dos. In the first story, we see the Pharisees trying to trick Jesus with that whole coin and taxes thing, right? And he says, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, and give to God what's God's. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about taxes because you're a little bit too young for that still. What I want to point out is, you love taxes? Oh, he knows taxes. Man, you guys are teaching him well. Hot dog. Wow. The part I want you to see in here is the response from the Pharisees. At the end of verse 17, it says, his reply completely amazed them. Joshua, I want to encourage you to be amazed by Jesus. Amazed. By Jesus. That's right. All along in Jesus' teaching, when he's taught, when he's done miracles, people have been like in awe of him. In fact, in Mark chapter 5, Jesus had just healed somebody who had a bunch of bad things living inside of him, and Jesus got in a boat to go back to the other side of the lake, and the guy wanted to go with him, but Jesus said, no, go back and tell your friends, your family, what just happened, and listen to the report. Mark chapter 5, verse 20, it says, so the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and to begin to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Now, the cool thing about the word amazed in the Greek is it means being amazed from the inside out. Sang a song about that, too. So, Joshua, as I'm encouraging you to be amazed by Jesus, there's going to be times that you read something in the Bible or you hear of Jesus doing something or you experience it and you're amazed on the inside, but this also means you let that amazement boil out. You get to share that amazement with your sister, with your dad, with your mom, with grandparents, with whoever else, okay? So, as you grow in your faith, as you continue to learn and love Jesus, be amazed at what he does. Why don't we say that together? Just say, be amazed at Jesus. Be amazed at Jesus. Okay, there will be a quiz for everybody else. Going back to our text, the second little story, we see Jesus having a conversation with Sadducees. These are people who didn't believe in the resurrection after death, and they asked this long-winded question. And they're people who knew the Bible really, really well. So at the end, they've just got this smirk on their face. They're like, whose wife is she going to be, Jesus? And Jesus' response is really what I want you to pay attention to, Joshua. He says, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. These were experts in scriptures. Joshua, I want to encourage you as you continue to grow in your faith to study the scriptures. All right? It'd be a lot easier to follow Jesus if he was like sitting right in front of us and we could high-five him. I mean, let's just be candid. But this is the next best thing. We get four different life accounts. You get to study this and figure out what Jesus does, who he is, who he loves, who he welcomes in. Now, there was another time in Scripture where God encouraged somebody to study the Scriptures, and he might have had the same first name as you, Joshua. Joshua who took down the walls of Jericho, right? Before he took down the walls, right after he took over for Moses, God said this to the guy you're named after, okay? He said this, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. This is the part that we all remember about this. Like, we're like, oh, be strong and courageous. It's Joshua. But listen, it says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate. Do not turn from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it. Think about it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command, God told Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Did you catch what he wanted Joshua to do right in the middle? He wanted them to study the scriptures, right? Verse 8, study the book of instruction. Think about it day and night. If God told the person you're named after, the person who led the Israelites into the promised land to knock the Jericho walls down, if he told him to study the scriptures, it's probably good for you and me to keep studying them too, huh? All right. Oh, you used to think that Joshua from the Bible was you? Well, may you have the same courage and strength that he does. Let's review. We're talking about things to do as Joshua grows in his faith, and you guys too. Study the scriptures, and what's the one right before that?
Be amazed
at Jesus. Well done. All right, going right back to our set of stories. This religious leader, teacher of religious law, had been watching Jesus interact with these other smart people groups, and he thought, well, let me see just how smart Jesus is. So he says, Jesus, let me ask you a question. Which of the commandments is most important? And if Joshua, if you don't remember anything else about today, I want you to remember Jesus' response. Which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is as great as these. So simple, love God, love others. Love God, love others. Joshua, believe it or not, even though you're getting baptized today, there's going to be times where you struggle to follow Jesus well. There's going to be hard times. And you might be thinking, well, can I say this or can I do that? And maybe I can find somewhere something is written that can tell me whether or not I can or can't do. The first question I want you to ask is, what does love require of me? What's the loving thing to do? How can I best love God? How can I best love others? Jesus said it was that simple. Love God, love others, period. Those are the most important commandments. So I want you to do that. That's three to-dos. Let's work our way from the front, backwards, okay? So the first thing was?
Be amazed
at Jesus. The second thing was? Study the scriptures. The third thing was? Love God, love others. All right, we're getting it. Josh, this is really for them, because we all need to be reminded of this all the time. fourth to do, because I told you there was four to-dos. We jump into the part where Jesus is asking questions of the crowd. And I'm not going to ask the question that he asked the crowd, because it was kind of confusing. But at the end of the question, it says that the large crowd, this is verse 37, the end of it, the large crowd listened to him with great delight. I want to encourage you, Joshua, to take delight in Jesus. That's different than be amazed. Take delight in Jesus. Do you know what that means? You know, maybe. I mean, it's hard. Let me see if I can help you understand. What's your favorite food?
Cheese.
That's a man after my own heart. We're going to go to Tillamook sometime, okay? Cheese. So if you get a really good cheese and you bite into it, you enjoy it, right? Like every bite, you're like, there's a hallelujah in my mouth going on. See, one of my favorite foods, I can't narrow it down to just cheese, is cookies. Chocolate chip cookies, warm chocolate chip cookies, and whole milk.
Yep.
Brianna's like, we can stop here. That's right. I love every bite. I love tasting the chocolate chips. I love adding extra sugar. It's just amazing. Now, what's cool is that the word delight in Greek literally means sweet. It means sweetly. It means to enjoy greatly. So as we learn what it means to delight in Jesus, it's similar except multiplied by a gazillion of enjoying your favorite food. And we need to learn how to do that over time. Frankly, sometimes I think kids know how to do it better than adults. All right, so Josh, you keep this delight in Jesus going now. All right, so four do's. Delight in Jesus. Let's work our way backwards. Love God, love others, good. Study the scriptures, and be amazed. Thank you. Pastor Trevor's going to go get our kids so that they can watch the baptism that's about to take place. Joshua, I told you there was two don't do's, okay? So four do's and two don't do's. The first don't do is this. Don't fake your faith. Don't put your faith on for show, all right? At the end of this passage, Jesus says, beware of the teachers of religious law, because they like to parade around in their fancy suits. They like to go through the marketplace and have people call them reverend and sir and pastor and all those things. Okay? They really like to sit in the plates of honor at the potlucks and at the head table at the banquets, and they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property, and then they pretend to be pious, making long prayers in public. Don't fake your faith. It would be easy to wear the First Church t-shirt, and if you don't have one, let me know. We can sell them. It's awesome. It would be easy to buy the gold chain with the big cross and wear that. And you know what? If you really wanted to go extreme, you could get the First Church logo tattooed on your bicep. Wait till you're 18 and make sure you got your parents' permission on that one. Okay? It'd be easy to do all of that. And it would also be easy to think that once you get baptized, life is going to be good and the faith is going to be easy, but it's not. I want to tell you that as you grow in your faith, there's going to be times when you wrestle. There's going to be times when you doubt. There's going to be times when you question. There's going to be times you shake your fist at God and say, why? And in those times, I want to encourage you, don't fake like it's easy. Don't pretend that everything's okay. Bring somebody along and say, you know what? This is hard right now. Ultimately, Josh, what you're doing by getting baptized, you're not saying, I'm promising to live a perfect life from here on out and believe everything that I've ever been taught. What you're saying is, I'm going to wrestle with this with Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm committing to Team Jesus for the rest of my life. So, first thing is, don't fake your faith. All right? Second, don't stop asking questions. All right? At the end of the part where the guy asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment? He answered, and the guy's like, wow, good job. And Jesus said, you're close to the kingdom of God. And then the text says, and after that, no one dared ask any more questions. This is one of those few times where I tell people, do something different than the Bible says. Okay? Keep asking questions. That's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how we become closer to Jesus. I started off this message talking about kids trying to outwit their parents with questions. And you know, the kid that asks the question over and over and over and over and over again, the parents eventually get tired. Joshua, Jesus will never get tired of your questions. He will never get tired of your questions. Does this make sense? Okay? Four do's. Be amazed at Jesus. Study the scriptures. Love God, love others. Take delight in Jesus. Two don'ts. Don't fake your faith. And don't stop asking questions. All right. Now, speaking of questions, our denominational process, we're Free Methodist Church, we like to ask the people questions before they get baptized just to make sure they know what they're doing and we know they know what they're doing and to make sure we still know what we're doing. Now, because it's scary as all get out to stand in front of people and talk, Joshua and his dad recorded these questions beforehand. So as we watch that video, Joshua, his dad, family, friends, whoever else wants, let's go meet in the back by the baptismal. But everybody else, go ahead and watch these questions.